I'll open the Senate Committee on Rules for June 12, 2009, and I will open a public hearing on SGR 4, where the committee administrator give a brief overview while Senator Prusansky comes up to speak about the Senate Joint Resolution.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. SJR 4 authorizes persons serving as a judge to be employed by the State Board of Higher Education or a school board refers proposed amendment to people for their approval or rejection at the next regular general election. You will find in your packet a fiscal statement on the SJR 4.
Oh, boy. All these people come in at once.
The two of you sitting together?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Senator Prusansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Floyd Prusansky, State Senator, District 4, representing parts of Lane and Douglas counties. SJR 4 is before you at the request of one of the circuit court judges in Lane County, Carsten Rasmussen. Carsten, as many of you know, was a former member of the legislature. He has sat on the Lane County bench for a number of years as a circuit court judge. In that capacity, he has been asked to teach at the University of Oregon Law School, and he has done so. But because of his position as a in the judicial branch as a judge, he is not allowed to be compensated for the time that he spends over at the school. There are a number of other judges, my understanding, in the past who have been asked to also be participants in the training of young would-be lawyers, and that many have decided that they cannot take on that obligation without having the compensation. So before you today is SJR 4. It basically would refer to the voters, and I am suggesting and recommending to the committee that if it is favorable for passage, that it be referred to the voters in November of 2010 at the next general election. And it would basically pose the question as to whether or not an individual who is a judge in a court in this state should be eligible to be employed by the State Board of Higher Education or a school board or other school endeavor to be able to serve as a professor or teacher and be able to receive a modest compensation for that time.
Okay. Any questions for Senator Prusansky?
Questions?
Yes, Senator Ferriola.
Would this judge also be certified by GSPC? Not GSPC, but the teacher standards and practices?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ferrioli, I don't know the answer to that question. I guess that would depend on if they were actually going to be in the role of a what we refer to as a primary or secondary school, K-12. The individual that has asked for this bill to go forward would be within the employment would be with the Board of Higher Education at the university level. And I don't believe that that would require that it only be in the primary or secondary schools if that was the case. And whether or not there's some type of waiver for professionals that are in that situation, which would be some type of a maybe seminar as compared to being a regular teacher in the classroom day in and day out, I'm not sure.
Any additional questions? Okay. Thank you, Senator Prusansky. And if you want to remain, that's fine. If you need to go to other business, that's fine also.
Sorry. All right. And thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mark Nelson. I represent the Oregon Judges Association. I'll be very brief. Currently, judges in Oregon do teach at Lewis and Clark and Willamette University because they are private universities, and that's quite common. So those particular law school students do enjoy the fruits of those particular, in the background of those judges coming before those institutions. This legislation is actually patterned off similar legislation, I think, back in the 70s, in which by constitution we authorized teachers who also were viewed as part of the executive department to also serve in the legislature. So this is not something new, but it's come as there have been requests for judges to participate at state systems of higher or OUS schools of education. It became clear that there may be a question here between, again, the judiciary and the executive branch, and we believe we need the constitutional amendment to clarify that. But again, this will allow judges to teach at University of Oregon Law School, and that's the primary focus that we have here, as they already teach now at Lewis and Clark and Willamette University.
Okay. Question from both Mr. Nelson and Senator Pruszynski. By your statements and by looking at this, the clear opinion is there's no way other than a constitutional amendment that you could have a judge employed by a public entity, another public entity. Is that...
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's my understanding, that it's been looked at, that people believe that it's questionable, and I think there's a concern on, of course, on part of any judge who would participate in that, that they wouldn't like to be called to question.
And Mr. Chair, I would concur with that. I would use the experience of myself when I was first elected into the House of Representatives in 1994. I was an attorney as an assistant district attorney in Lane County, and we thought because of my position as a county employee, I would be able to take a leave of absence from the county and be able to serve in the legislature. After someone raised the issue after the election in November, we looked at the issue and determined that because my authority to go into court was directly from the district attorney, and that he or she we knew was a state executive officer, it was determined clearly that I at that point would be violating separation of powers of being in two branches of state government. And so this is a concern that the judicial branch has raised, and I will tell you that if you remember, Representative Montgomery asked at one point whether or not we should run a constitutional amendment to the voters to see whether or not assistant district attorneys should be allowed to do that. I myself chose not to participate in that, but I think this question here would be very similar in analysis and would be one that, for clarity and to make certain there is no violation of the separation of powers, would be the cleanest way to do it, if not the only way.
Well, Senator Pruszynski, you chose to take the higher compensated position. Is that correct?
No.
And actually, even probably years after that, I do know that I think I've actually known of cases on both sides of the aisle where people tried to recruit deputy district attorneys and then discovered that they couldn't actually run for the office and still hold the same position.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. I've fielded a number of phone calls from individuals from both parties that wanted to be candidates, and they asked me, and I sent them the opinions that we determined that the situation for me would apply to them in their capacity as an assistant district attorney.
Any additional questions? Yes, Senator Ferrioli.
It's assumed that we would have these folks hired by the State Board of Higher Education or a school board to teach, but it doesn't say so. So they could be hired in any capacity. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ferrioli, it's my understanding that these would be limited duration. They may be teaching one class a night. Again, I want to emphasize they're not taking on, per se, a second job. They're still restricted by their canons and their ethics. They must perform, you know, their duties as an elected judge. But it's something that they believe that they can be giving back in terms of the classroom, and that there would be some kind of compensation, but it would be a limited duration. Not a limited duration, I think it's a lack. I think they call it adjuncts that they bring in on a regular kind of basis.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Senator Ferrioli, my understanding from speaking to Judge Rasmussen, he himself will provide this service, I believe, like once in a calendar school year, that, as Mr. Nelson has said, that they basically have a civil procedure or some type of evidence type of course that they would be responsible for teaching, but it's my understanding it's not an ongoing scenario that goes on for every semester that the school's open.
Mr. Chairman, follow-up?
Yes.
I don't see the word teach anywhere in this section. I just wondered if this limited or was limited to any form of employment, or are we to assume this means teaching? But, because it says, a person serving as a judge of any court in this state shall be eligible to be employed by the State Board of Higher Education or a school board.
Mm-hmm.
In what capacity?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Ferrioli, I would say that the way it is structured, it could be in whatever capacity they were hired. I can only tell you, based on the request of Judge Rasmussen, it would be for the ability to teach at the University of Oregon Law School, the only public law school in this state. And it's I forget which classes he's taught before, but it's either evidence and or procedures.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Farrell.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will close the public hearing on STR 4. And I will open a public hearing on, we're going to jump around a little bit, on HB 3473. In a moment, can the committee administrator give a brief overview? And for the sake of the committee and for the sake of the people in the audience, we will not be going to a work session today on House Bill 3004B. It will be set over till the Monday agenda. So, and also can Representative Wingard please come forward, and as soon as the committee administrator completes the overview, please proceed.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 3473A requires school districts with public high schools to adopt plans to encourage students to register to vote and to vote in elections, requires State Board of Education to incorporate voter registration skills into essential learning skills, declares emergency as effective July 1, 2009.
Representative. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Matt Wingard. I'm a state representative for House District 26. This bill comes to you from an 18-year-old constituent of mine by the name of April Hill, who attends Century High School, and was familiar with the bill that was passed last session that directed community colleges and our institutions of higher learning to have a voter registration or voter registration program available. And she wanted to see if it was possible to extend that into the high schools for seniors. So this is not the current form of the bill. This is the amended form, and it is, I believe, elegant and quite simple in its requests. Basically, the bill does three things. It requires any public high school that has a website to place on the front page of the website a link to the new online voter registration system that this legislature, I believe, will create. I think that bill's already moved through the process. Secondly, if the Secretary of State makes registration materials available and pamphlets related to registering available to the schools, that they display them, put them out, probably end up in the Career Center. And then lastly, that the Board of Ed incorporate registration skills into the essential learning skills. This was probably the one that draws the most questions. We have had discussions with the Board of Ed and don't believe this will require them to open up the rules process. They're pretty comfortable that that they can cover this, that they essentially, it's almost in there, and if not, they can make some slight adjustments to some wording on the essential skills to include that. So, in reality, the bill makes very, very modest requests, and hopefully will encourage some young folks to participate in the process as soon as they become eligible and be lifetime voters and active citizens in the process.
Okay. Any questions for the representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Farrell.
Could you describe what a voter registration skill is, please?
Mr. Chair, Senator Farrioli, you're asking me to describe what a voter registration skill. I think the idea being that in the course of a government class that most high school age students take, that they be shown what a voter registration card looks like, the application, and that they understand how to fill that out and comply with the requirements that are in that application in order to be able to be a registered voter who would receive a ballot.
So, Mr. Chair, would those skills include knowledge of what constitutes voter fraud?
Mr. Chair, Senator Farrelly, I don't think the expectation is that they be... I don't really know the answer to that question, but it was not our expectation that they be given the sort of initiative petition signatures, Bill of Rights, and all of that information. I think what we're looking for in the essential skills is they simply know what a voter registration application looks like and that they understand how to go about becoming a registered voter. I believe the application itself indicates what is permissible and not, and who actually is entitled to be a registered voter and who's not.
Mr. Chairman, I assume that anybody who filled out one of those registration forms and checked the box fraudulently would be an unskilled voter registrant.
That would obviously be correct.
That would be true, would it not? Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional questions for the representative? Seeing none, thank you for coming here today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay.
I will close the public hearing. Are we okay?
relating to student voters.
Okay. I will open a work session on House Bill 3473. Is there a main motion?
Hello.
Don't all move at once.
Well, I'd be happy, Mr. Chair, to move.
They make question our training if we don't move.
I'd be happy to move House Bill 3473A to the fourth, do pass recommendation if that's the desire of the chair.
Senator Metzger has moved House Bill 3473A to the floor with the do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection, motion passes. Senator Metzger, will you carry?
Sure.
If you are on the dais, I will back you up.
Mr. Chairman, point of order?
Yes.
I would certainly reserve the right to change, to vote no on the bill, pending a description of what is a voter skill.
Okay.
I'd like to kind of know what, being shown a form is interesting, but being referred to a website is something entirely different. So,
okay.
I'd actually like a better description of what a voter skill is, Mr. Chair.
Understood. And I believe that the sponsor of the bill, we've been served with notice that you'd like to see that, and hopefully you could inform Senator Metzger also.
Sure, sounds like a homework assignment.
I'll close the work session. Okay. We're going to go back to work sessions. And let's see. We will go to 2339B. Okay. I will open a work session on 2339B. Could the committee administrator give a brief overview on the dash 7 amendments?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2339B expands information exempt from public disclosure to include certain personal information of public safety officers, district attorneys, deputy district attorneys, prosecuting city attorneys, United States attorneys and assistant attorneys, attorney generals and assistant attorney generals, allows for disclosure of records to financial institutions and title companies for business purposes, requires requests for non-disclosure to be in writing and specific documents identified by requester, limits requester to 10 documents held by county clerk's office. The dash B7 amendments you'll find in your packet removes name from the list of information that cannot be disclosed when a request is made. You also see in your packet a testimony from the Yamhill County District Attorney.
Okay, do I have a motion on the B7 amendments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Before offering the motion, I have to, I guess the phrase is out of an abundance of caution, I will declare a conflict of interest. Would you like me to state that it's my conflict, Mr. Chair? My son is a corrections officer, a sworn deputy for Benton County.
Okay.
So he would be affected by this bill.
That's a good county department. They're all good counties, but that's a particularly good county.
That's my county, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any additional discussion?
Mr. Chairman, we're in work session?
Yes.
I move the adoption of the dash B7 amendments to House Bill 2339.
Okay, the B7 amendments have been moved to be adopted to 2339B. Is there any discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing done, motion passes. Is there a motion on the main bill?
Mr. Chairman, before voting on the main bill, I will also announce that same conflict of interest. But I move that House Bill 2339B is amended. I move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, House 2339B as amended has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yes, Chair, only that I worked on the work group and this in the previous committee.
Yes, Senator Metzger.
Mr. Chair, I'll be a no on this bill. I understand it has the votes to move out of committee, which is I think, appropriate for the discussion on the floor, but a longstanding objection against public disclosure. So I would be a no on that.
Okay. Would you please call the roll?
Yep. Yes.
Aye.
Senator
Oscar?
No.
Senator
Farioli?
Aye.
Senator
Aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If I could just do a brief vote explanation, because
yes.
I am also with Senator Metzger on almost all of these issues, but when issues of safety, I can be persuaded when issues of safety, personal safety, are involved.
Thank you for that explanation. Motion passes. Senator Boquist, will you carry?
Be delighted to, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Close the work session. I'm going to jump back down to the public hearings. An interesting public hearing. Well, we'll do the more interesting one first. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3496. Could Ms. Michelle Kennedy come forward from Representative Edwards' office? And could the committee administrator give a brief overview?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3496 makes a specified health insurance coverage requirement exempt from an automatic 6-year sunset provision.
Okay. Ms. Kennedy.
For the record, my name is Michelle Kennedy. I'm the Chief of Staff for Representative David Edwards. He wanted to testify today, but he's co-chairing a committee right now. This bill was brought to the representative's attention by a constituent named Sue Ring. She is a registered dietitian. I also submitted written testimony, her written testimony, to this effect. Insurance Law 743-729, it required insurance companies in Oregon to pay for non-prescription elemental enteral formulas for home use if the formula was medically necessary for the treatment of severe malabsorption and a physician had issued a written prescription for the order for the formula, and the formula comprises source of an essential source of nutrition. The law sunsetted in June of 2005. Briefly, elemental formulas are made from non-allergenic amino acids or from proteins that are broken down to the elemental level so they can be easily digested and absorbed. In many cases, an elemental formula may be the only thing a child or an infant can properly digest and tolerate due to various allergies or gastrointestinal conditions. The use of any inappropriate formula can lead to diarrhea, bloody stools, poor weight gain, persistent vomiting, severe skin rashes, failure to thrive, etc. in an infant. These formulas are very specialized and consequently are very expensive than regular formulas. Every day, children are born with potentially life-threatening allergies and related diseases, which prohibit them from consuming formulas and foods required for life-sustaining nutrition. For the best option for these children is this elemental formula. Unfortunately, the cost of feeding a child an elemental formula can be in excess of 10% of the average family income. And according to the Children's Milk Allergy and Gastrointestinal Coalition, the cost of covering elemental formulas would raise premiums about 1.6% per year. It is estimated that 1-2% of the 2.5% of children who have a severe milk allergy will need an amino acid-based formula, and about 8% of these children will outgrow it in between 18 to 24 months.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Kennedy?
One question is for
yes.
Mr. Chair. So if we exempt that requirement from the 6-year automatic sunset provision, are we making that requirement permanent?
That is the intention, yes.
Senator Farrelly, did you have a follow-up?
No follow-up.
Okay. Just for the sake of just common language, children that need this, and commonly children, would be commonly referred to as someone with PKU, right?
Mr. Chair,
is there other
No, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's not in reference to SB 9, the PKU. It's more of they have a strong allergy, malabsorption type malady.
Okay, that's similar. Okay. Any additional questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay. I'll close the public hearing on HB 3496. And I will open a work session on HB 3496. Do I have a main motion?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you have the votes to pass this. I don't believe that I'm interested in a moving forward a minority report, but it is an insurance mandate.
So. Okay. Do I have a main motion, though?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3496 to the floor to do pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Metzger. We have main motion to move this to the floor with a do pass recommendation. That's House Bill 3496. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I'm generally not in favor of mandates. It is fairly narrow, though.
Okay. Would you please call the roll?
Senator Boquist?
Yes.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Farioli?
No.
Senator
Devlin? Aye. Motion passes. Is there anyone on the committee that wants to volunteer to carry the bill? Oh, look at this. Okay. The chair will decide at a later date who will carry, and if Representative Edwards has a preference, both on the committee or off the committee, please let us know. Okay, we'll jump around again. Okay, to the what I referred to as an interesting hearing. I'm going to open a hearing on House Bill 3495. Could the committee administrator give a brief overview? The chair referred to it as interesting, as we have no one to testify.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3495 permits reimbursement of law enforcement contacts, policy, and data review committee members' expenses, specifies that expense claims will be paid out of funds appropriated to Portland State University for purposes of the committee, applies to expenses incurred on or after the effective date of this act. There is a no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact on the measure.
Okay. Any questions from the members of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I have a comment.
Yes.
This looks like a reimbursement, and I made the same comment on the floor probably 3 months ago, and it wouldn't surprise me that the good share of revenue would agree, and that is we should really set one standard reimbursement per diem and travel rate and all that for the entire state instead of having each individual agency do it. But it doesn't mean I close the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay. As a former Ways and Means person, I think that would be appropriate for state agencies, but as a former Ways and Means person who was known as being stingy...
Of course, Mr. Chair, they're not stingy. Some of these rates are higher than the GSA rates.
I know, but in terms of our per diem rates that we pay for all of our advisory committees, which most of them are still at $30, the cost of increasing them all to the regular per diem rates would be pretty expensive.
Right, Mr. Chair, but this is the fire hose just starting to turn off. Wait till next session.
Any additional discussion? Did we get a main motion yet?
No, we're still in public hearing.
Oh, we're still in public hearing. I'm trying to move faster than I think. It's a long day. Mm-hmm. Any additional discussion in the public hearing?
Okay. And you will find in your packet the testimony from Representative Olson, who is a sponsor of this bill. He wanted to make sure you had this for the hearing today because he could not be here.
Okay. I will close the public hearing. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Move House Bill 3495 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved House Bill 3495 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And Mr. Chairman, just under discussion.
Yes.
I noticed that we are actually spending the resources of Portland State University.
Okay.
I'm looking here to find out how much the reimbursement is, and I'm not finding it. Could staff maybe help me?
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Chairman, I will speculate that because the money that we're spending is Portland State University's money, that the fiscal would be zero.
And Senator Burdick, it says in on page 2 of the measure, it's reimbursed for actual necessary travel and other expenses incurred in the performance of the official duties. So I suspect it's a direct reimbursement,
right,
or if you submit receipts and appropriate documentation to the committee.
It's not a per diem per day. It's okay. Reimbursement for direct costs, subject to probably the limitations the university would have. Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing no objections, motion passes. Senator Farioli, would you carry?
Mr. Chairman, perhaps that honor should be accorded to the co-chair of Ways and Means. I think this is an important bill for her.
Okay.
If she declines to carry, I'll be happy to carry.
Okay, so Senator Johnson, or did you say the vice chair or co-chair?
I said co-chair.
Okay, so Senator Carter will carry. Okay, we will need to be at ease for just a moment. If we could be at ease for a
Bill 2441B for the purposes of adapting the B9 amendments, and after that I will close the work session and we'll come back to this bill on Monday. Do I have a motion on the B9 amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move the B9 amendments to House Bill 2441.
Okay, Senator Farioli has moved the amendments to House Bill 2441B, the B9 amendments. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Mr. Chair, this is about 90%. I worked on this original bill in the other committee. This is about 90% there, but I'll still be supportive of the amendment.
Okay. And seeing any objections to the motion? Seeing no objections, motion passes. Again, I'll be closing this work session, and we'll be coming back to this bill on Monday. With that, that concludes our work for today. We will be back Monday. I cannot tell at this time what time we will be back on Monday. It all depends upon the schedule that is set for session and actually for a whole lot of other things, too. Senator Gelser, before I conclude, I've just closed the work session. We adopted the B9 amendments. We're just waiting for the fiscal, and I'm trying to put a little bit more pressure to get the fiscal here so I can just move the bill on Monday. Probably won't make any difference in how fast it moves to the floor. Okay. With that, we're adjourned.